He simply used him to absorb Akin's strength and greatness, I answered. Then we must protect you, my dear, because once they know Akin has made you pregnant. My sister suddenly realized the terrible implications, and her face blanched with anxiety. Then there are the politicians, she went on. They will try and get you, and the terrorists will attempt to kidnap you. What are we going to do? I shall appeal to the authorities again for protection. Then again, she said, placing her hand to her heart, the mark of lineage will be seen in the facial features of the developing life within you, once he is born. Fear not, I said softly, feeling the joy of the quickening body within mine. Akin will come for me. His son will not be born on this planet, where a racialistic outlook submerges all sane and intellectual thought. His skin is also white, of a golden hue, born of a fair-skinned race, and as you rightly say, this mark of lineage will be seen in his facial features. An exhilarating happiness filled those days of quickening life within me. The halcyon days were filled with joy with a life so precious, a part of Akin to be nurtured, protected and loved, a life from another planet to be encompassed with the essence of love and joy that a woman knows and gives to the quickening child within her womb when the embryo stems from the seed of love. This is the spark that creates the divine soul in human life, a divine soul born in the offspring of a true mating between a man and a woman. True and complete love, of a man for a woman and a woman for a man, is so rarely found among human beings on Earth, who misunderstand the functions of mating and procreation in the higher octaves of sensual delight. One golden day I sensed the nearness of Akin. My heart became restless as I awaited a sign in the evening sky. The full moon rose over the line of hills in the east, and the still and tranquil hush of evening light spread over the darkening mountains to the west. I kissed May goodbye. I know you will care for David, I said. Bless you. And I was gone in the MG, winding along the mountain track to the top of the hill behind the homestead beyond the oak wood. I had not long to wait. The beautiful ship of light appeared, moving silently through the moonlit atmosphere. Opalescent and ethereal in the moonbeams, it quietly settled on the hilltop. Bluish, unearthly light streamed from the portholes, and the ship remained silent for a few brief moments. The automatic doors opened then, and Akin stepped through. He came to me and picked me up in his arms, holding me close. Now I am really going to carry you off with me to another planet, he whispered. His lips in my hair as he carried me into the spaceship. Sharon smiled a greeting from his control desk, and Haben was the two. Hello my dear, he said, as Akin put me on my feet. You look beautiful and well and also large with child as we hoped. It suits you. There is a radiance about you. The child is due to be born. When a child is born, we must reach for the stars, Akin said. We have just moved from Mars, and must now be off again to Alpha Centauri. But my car. I cannot just leave her out there on the hill. We will take the car too, said Akin. We never had piston engines like that, and besides, the engine needs some adjustment. I shall attend to that myself. Can you visualize it all now in your mind? Sharon pressed a lever beside the control panel, and I saw a ramp slide out from an opening in the hull. A brilliant beam of white light enveloped the MG. It rose, suspended within the light, and was drawn swiftly forward onto the ramp and into the hull of the spaceship. The ramp instantly slid back, leaving no trace of an opening in the side of the hull. The MG is quite safe in the hold, my beloved one, Akin smiled. You won't need it on the home planet. There are no filling stations there and no roads. Such an antiquated mode of transport would appear out of place. Sharon adjusted the push buttons on the control panel. I sensed again that fantastic vibration, like a shudder from outside the sealed cabins, as the spaceship moved in instantaneous anti-light harmonics, stepping up the frequency interaction of the speed of light and speeding up the geometric of time, altering the frequencies controlling the matter-antimatter cycles, the geometric matrix of space-time. I closed my eyes and relaxed on the comfortable bench as Akin placed his hand on my forehead. I felt a harmonic affinity with all substance, a resonance tuned to matter and antimatter in alternate pulses. You understand now, my beloved, the nature of our propulsion systems. The equation is quite clear within your mind. You can move in harmony with us. You can know the beautiful simplicity of nature as we alter the microatoms of light, the basic building blocks of all energy and matter, pure electromagnetic waveforms, the key to the universe and all life, where all protons and neutrons are built up from microatoms. Can you visualize it all now in your mind?
Yes, indeed, I replied. I can see it all so clearly in all its glorious simplicity, assemblies of microatoms throughout all matter and antimatter, consisting of three within four in alternate pulses. The whole universe is a pulse of energy, resonating in harmonic interaction to form different waveforms. Physical matter, like this spaceship and ourselves, is nothing more than a concentrated field of force. We are made up of these waveforms, and we can feel and see similar waveforms that resonate within our range of frequencies. The spaceship achieves a shift in space-time simply by stepping up the frequencies of light and time between each pulse of physical matter. It is a planet formed by three spiraling wave motions in space, and it repositions itself within the spatial dimensions of the planet by decreasing frequencies between pulses. Thus it appears in the time geometric of the planet, which can be anywhere in space in the Sun's system or in another solar system altogether. Created by the harmonic interaction of the unified field differentials emanating from the spaceship herself in terms of light, or pure electromagnetic waveform, the unified field equation manifests in perfect harmony. I can see now the simple equation that creates it all. The letters and the figures are clearly seen in my mind. There is no need to write the formula down. The mathematical precision and placing of the numbers and letters will remain forever within my mind. It is already within the mind of our child, who will now be born with this knowledge of highly advanced physics. Good. This is how it must be. You are an excellent pupil, my dear, and indeed worthy to be one of us and the mother of my son. Akin held me close in his arms, pressing my head against his chest with his left hand so that I could feel the strong beat of his heart in rhythmic perfection. And then I saw it, another brilliant sphere, another home of life, another island moving in the vast void of space, another Venus. There are two of you to look after now. My child within you is stirring and will be born as soon as we reach my home. Your bloodstream has been cleansed by the pure, fresh air in the spaceship. Despite your living for many months on the farm where the air was clean, the amount of pollution in Earth's atmosphere now encircles the entire planet. It has reached a very dangerous level. Because of this measure of pollution, we only land on the high remote areas of mountains. Come. There is a bath and change of garments for you in the small cabin. Holding me close and whispering words of love, he went with me into the smaller cabin. The single garment I put on hung in rich and soft folds of silk to my ankles. Simple and free, it concealed the thickening of my waist, hanging from the shoulders. It had wide, loose sleeves like a caftan and shimmered golden yellow with threads of green. The golden silk matches your amber eyes, Akin said softly. He cradled my feet in his big hands. Your feet are small and broad, there is no need for the restriction of shoes. He fitted a beautiful pair of silken sandals, the color of the sapphire sea, to my feet. Then he changed out of his silvery suit into a garment of soft glowing silk and a pair of sandals like mine. Haben called to us to come and watch the viewing lens. We moved toward the shining, curved wall, our thoughts triggering the electronic doorway that slid open at our approach. I caught my breath with excitement as I glimpsed tremendous colors in the lens. The most awe-inspiring spectacle was taking shape, suffused in brilliant yellows, rose red and blue, with vast streamers of soft rose red that reached out into the silken darkness of fathomless space. The brilliant colors cleared after a moment, and two gigantic stars glowed in the far reaches of the void. One shone with deep blue radiation, and the other with a glory of rose red. A third, much smaller, star vibrated in soft golden light radiation in a wide orbit around the two. This was Alpha Centauri, seen in all the glory of pristine radiation. The great, waxing stars balanced each other in the prime of their lifespans, harboring a race of people who tame the winds of space to propel their beautiful spaceships. Through the filtered lens, I watched stupendous prominences looping out and shifting in continuous agitation as rhythmic waves and branches of light emitted outward from the photosphere in dense radiation. Stupendous energy filled the vast reaches of space that surrounded the splendor of this triple solar system, and the glory of Akan's home system filled the lens with magnificent color and movements. And then I saw her, another brilliant sphere, another home of life, another island moving in the vast void of space, another Venus. This was Meton, or Venus II, the home of an advanced race of people, a world of gentle climate and gentle people. Vast seas of sapphire blue and emerald isles in an atmosphere similar to Venus when it had lived, harboring the beginnings of this fantastic race of people. Other planets could be seen with their bright atmospheres, moving with a slow and graceful purposefulness around the small golden star. The star moved with its retinue of seven planets in orbit about the two great stars, well within the tremendous corona of this magnificent star system known to Earth people as Alpha Centauri. The star of our system is known to Earth people as Proxima Centauri, and all these planets are inhabited by our civilization. We live in constructive harmony and peace. We moved from Venus in the Sun's system to make our home here, which is now permanent because we can control our environment. Our science and our understanding of stars, planets and solar systems have advanced considerably since we lived on Venus. Venus, to us, is still the home planet, the cradle of our race, and it is for this reason that we come into the Sun's system to touch down on that planet's surface and bring it to life again. Beneath her desert surface she still lives and thrives. The beautiful mountains of rose-colored rocks will again breathe an atmosphere of cerulean sky, and the moisture-giving clouds will spread out over the surface to form the seas again. And the variable star of her system, the Sun. Can you now tame the Sun? I asked. Indeed, yes. This is what we are in the process of doing. Will it change the climate on Earth? Of course. All planetary weather is controlled by the star of the planet's solar system. And a triple system like this one? These are stable, waxing stars without magnetic anomalies, Akan explained. They interact with harmonic resonance, creating equable climates over the planets. This also makes it much safer for our spaceships to operate in harmonic interaction with the unified field of matter and antimatter. Anomalies in Earth's atmosphere have caused fatal accidents to two of our spaceships when the matter-antimatter cycle of their propulsion systems shifted frequencies while moving within the resonating fields of the system. Tremendous explosions resulted, releasing a high level of radiation. Our scientists, at the instant of alarm detection within the spaceships, set course over remote, unpopulated areas of the planet Earth. The explosions occurred in the atmosphere, and unusually high levels of radioactivity remained on the surface. Oh. So that clears up the mystery of the Tunga's Tiger, I whispered with awe, where an explosion overhead ripped the forest to bits. And of course, the crew simply disappeared. I could say no more and moved closer to Akan. The splendor in space of the great stars and the glory of Akan's home system filled the lens like the electric mirage I had seen long ago in the vintage mothership, who could bring this fantastic scene to her people far away in other and strange solar systems, to keep in touch with their time system through the far reaches of interstellar space. The Venusian mothership still retained the highly civilized contact with her people that she had in days of yore, no matter where in the galaxy they had now migrated to. Moving smoothly within her environment as a natural celestial object, our spaceship appeared high in the atmosphere of the speeding planet Meton, or Venus II, the second planet outward from the golden star, Proxima Centauri. As we descended, a great glistening cloud billowed up over the sea, a curtain of rain trailing and thickening at its base. The radiation from the three stars struck a golden radiance out of the huge cumulus heads that spread out across the sapphire seas. We approached the circular roof of a home made of glistening material like marble. The beautiful building was set on a dais of surrounding circular steps perfectly symmetrical, rising from emerald lawns of shining grass and scattered semicircular beds of brilliant flowers. Trees with bright green foliage were scattered across the landscape like a great park. The spaceship silently settled to the rooftop, its shining surface untarnished by the vast distances it had traveled or the atmosphere of planets. The ship moved beyond the velocity of light, as Earth people understand it, and in so doing it overcame the power of the universe. It annihilated the fathomless seas of space in its swift passage through time, going with the pressure force of the universe gravity and attaining the higher octaves of resonance by the absorption of light itself. Thus it annihilated the light barrier. How afraid Earth scientists were when they attempted to annihilate the sound barrier in the atmosphere with aircraft, I thought. And yet it had all proved to be so very simple, no trouble at all as it is now with the light barrier. To reach another solar system within seconds, almost instantaneously, proved the simplicity of faster-than-light spaceships or flying saucers. I remember in years past how afraid they were of the sound barrier. They didn't know what to expect or how to overcome the problem of speed through the atmosphere of Earth. Jeffrey de Havilland's DH Swallow exploded in an attempt to break the sound barrier, just as some of these beautiful spaceships have exploded while breaking the light barrier. Charon pressed a button on the control panel to nullify the spaceship's systems. We waited a few seconds while the field differentials dissipated, and Akin walked toward the shining wall. The door slid open at his thought. I heard joyful voices and laughter as Akin's family came into the spaceship to greet us. Akin took my hand and led me down a single flight of stairs that descended into the home from the landing ramp. A circular balcony of delicately carved railings glowed with the luster of pearl against golden walls. It curved around the building, bringing us to the second floor. I could see the great living room far below, a vast circular chamber full of the glorious colors of the spectrum on the floor, the walls, the couches and the divans. The spiral staircase curved down the center of the circular building, the banisters hand-carved into a lovely delicate tracery of flowers and vines. These carvings were made of the same glowing material I had seen in the spaceship. Putting my hand on the smooth and lovely surface, we slowly walked down. "But this is pearl," I said. "Real pearl. It's uneven in places too, and it has that natural pink cluster. It's alive and giving out light." We paused to admire the lovely carving. Our aqueous atmosphere here and in the spaceships keeps pearl alive and vibrant as in its natural habitat, the sea, Akin explained. "We use pearl for the building of our homes and for the construction of our spaceships. Pearl lives on with vibrant light, and we farm this beautiful living substance within our vast seas. We live with it always, as it generates the light of the universe for our energy needs. How beautiful to live with. I have always loved pearls." I looked up into Akin's eyes. He put his arm about my waist so that I could lean against him and take the weight off my feet. "My beloved, I shall give you pearls to wear always, close to your skin." He opened a casket attached to the banister and lifted out the most beautiful pearl necklace I had ever seen, two rows of glowing, evenly matched pink pearls, with a clasp of 8 seed pearls surrounding a lovely ruby. I stood spellbound in the center of the stairway as he placed them around my neck. The soft, smooth coolness of the stones caused me to gasp with pleasure, and I put my hand up to press them against my throat. "Their light will give you light always. Wear them always with the ring, and our communication will remain unbroken forever." Akin put his hand under my chin, lifting my face up to his. "My chosen one. These pearls were left in the casket by my mother. She left them for my chosen one, whom she knew would come from another planet. Men of Earth live in a world of chaos and destruction. These are the heights of their understanding, and hydrogen bombs are the limit of their power. Playa and Haben came to me and put their arms about me, hugging and kissing me on both cheeks. "Welcome home, dear one," said Playa. "We are your family, your kin." Theon came forward as well, with his mate Lyra and their three children, to welcome me with a hug and a kiss on both cheeks. "How wonderful and lovely you all are," I said, my heart brimming over with love for them all. I hugged and kissed each one of them again. "Thank you for letting me come. How happy I am to be here." I turned to Akin, who gathered me up in his arms and carried me down the stairway, the others following us into the great circular living room. Its beauty took my breath away. Akin stood in the room's center, still holding me in his arms, and I looked up at the perfection of the domed ceiling, painted with the three stars of Alpha Centauri. They shed their life-giving rays throughout the home in a natural lighting emanating from the glowing luminous substance of pearl. I absorbed the beauty of the atmosphere within the home. The color vibrations were particularly strong, with no pale or insipid colors. Everywhere, the bright and glorious colors of the spectrum of nature blended with a deep silky softness that took my breath away. Delicate music played upon strings wafted through the room from the soundboard of the dome above, music of such purity and perfection of composition that its magic thrilled my soul, and my body responded with ecstasy to the vibrations. Gently, Akin set me down, and my silken sandals sank a little into the firm, soft carpeting. "Music is a universal language," he said. "We feel the vibrations, the harmony of composition. Glorious colors also give out vibrations for our well-being. Plants, as you see them growing in this room, thrive with love, harmony and the vibrations of our music. We live with beauty and comfort." The homes of the people of Meton were not more than three stories high, I learned, but they only lived in the first two floors. The top story was used for the kitchen and storerooms. They preferred to live and sleep close to the ground. It was healthy to do so, and it allowed them to retain the magnetic impulses emanating from the planet. Those impulses were conducted by the circular construction of the homes themselves, and were released within by the molded pearl. Meton's people had no tensions or aggressive thoughts, which allowed them to retain their health and longevity. Because of the advanced conditions for living and their way of life, they had no need for a monetary system. The beauty and comforts of life were shared by all inhabitants, resulting in time for the cultivation of the mind and the attainment of a great cultural foundation and background. All knowledge was channeled into constructive work and recreation. The arts and sciences were pursued by all, and produced a greatly advanced and constructive civilization where violence and wars were completely unknown. "Come, my dear," Akin said. We sat down on a low and very comfortable couch whose high back supported my spine and shoulders. Akin lifted my feet and placed them to rest on a soft, high cushion. "We maintain harmonious contact with other races on other planets," he continued, "but close contact or miscegenation is unknown among our race beyond this solar system. This is why only a few from beyond this solar system are chosen for breeding purposes, to infuse new blood into our ancient race. We only select those few whom we know to be reborn from the mother planet, Venus. You, my beloved, have this race memory. Your ancient lineage goes back many thousands of years in Earth time. We have traced your ancestry, and all this was arranged when you were born. You know so much," I said, my mind full of wonder. "Even to the birth of your son. You knew it would not be a daughter. How did you know?" "I took you at the right time," Akin said, "when I detected your vibrations. This had to be done twice. Making love to you twice was the most beautiful experience, and it was also necessary, because having a boy is a lot more difficult. Male-bearing sperm lasts only a few hours, so I had to be accurate within hours about your time of ovulation. It was the most beautiful experience of all my life," I whispered as I kissed Akin. Playa came into the room bearing a silver tray of refreshments. She brought me a bowl of fruit juice. "Drink it all down," she said. "It has been out in the light of the stars, absorbing the life-giving radiation that filters through our thick atmosphere. I am so happy you and Akin have mated so perfectly. It rarely happens with other planetary beings. Your son will indeed be very special and unusual. Such mating is very important after all these eons of time, as our race has become very inbred despite our methods of scientific breeding. Cosmicpeople.com. Love will be your bond forever, and your soul belongs here now, although your body still belongs to Earth. When your body dies on Earth, the soul will return here. Your physical body is merely a shell around you to protect the soul of energy. When it falls away, the real you, the divine spark of life, moves on into infinite timelessness in the cycle of evolution." Playa kissed me tenderly, and then continued. "The cycle changes again and you become mass again, born into a physical body as you are at present. This process is the cycle of evolution in the soul and mind, and the race memory is retained always within your subconscious. Gradually, you evolve through all the dimensions of time and into eternity, when the body's cells cease to degenerate. Humankind is a part of eternity. We found this great truth when we moved into the far reaches of space beyond the light barrier. We all have eternal life in time, the ever-moving present. Only when balance is achieved do we change vibrations, and then we do indeed find the joy in life forever. I can see in the spectrum of time, my dear, that your soul's transient hold on Earth will soon be broken, and you will join us again here forever. It will not be a long wait. Whereas on Earth, one's heartbeat remains attuned to the lower vibrations of time and a slower pulse rate is recorded, here on Meeton the heartbeat becomes attuned to the higher vibratory rate in time. The timing of your heartbeats will go out of rhythm in an attempt to keep time with the vibratory rate of this planet's time continuum. The herbal juices I have just given you will regulate your heartbeat and prevent any distress. It will allay the effect of our atmosphere on your heart until we have delivered you of Akin's son, so that he may be born on this planet and become attuned to the environment where he belongs." With a flourish of her hand, Playa concluded by saying, "You know and are happy that he may never breathe the harsh atmosphere now imposed by humankind's pollution of Earth's environment." Looking through the long open doors of the living room, I saw the deep sapphire blue of the sea. The waters sparkled in gentle waves that washed onto the white beach, the pulse of their energy propagated by the oscillations of water molecules that moved in rhythmic swells from the far horizon. It was a gentle climate, reflected in tranquil seas. A race is affected by the climate in which it lives. Not here on this planet could the ruthless and prodigious march of storms across land and sea occur, leaving swathes of destruction, chaos, nervous tension and chaotic changes in magnetic frequency. Spawned by the high winds of an unstable atmospheric pressure, the mighty storms of Earth rule its skies, and people of that planet bow in awe and fright before the onslaught of hostile clouds. Yet these living cells that multiply in the frigid heights depending on noise and destruction for their progressive march across the face of a planet can be tamed. Bereft of their destructive power, they can become gentle, and provide the soft rains so necessary for the life of a planet. People of Earth live in a world of chaos and destruction. These are the height of their understanding, and hydrogen bombs are the limit of their power. The unstable conditions existing that cause low pressure waves to trigger off faults within the crust of the planet, and the resulting devastation from earthquakes and the heaving seas is a clear indication of the extent to which the Earth's surface breathes the sky. I can control the electrical rhythm of your heart for a limited period, which will amount to 4 months of your Earth time. On Meeton, the balanced radiation of her primary star mingle with the tremendously beneficial radiation from the great binary stars. This planet is enfolded within the enormous corona of her triple system, and the collisions of radiation from the three balanced sources creates a far deeper ionosphere surrounding the planet. This shield is formed when a planet is within the temperature range of stars, which is necessary to create these conditions. magnetic seas encircle a planet and protect the lower atmospheric envelope, and life as we know it exists on the land, in the air and in the waters. In the higher atmosphere, beautiful clouds shimmer and shine,